HBCU Sports with Trevin A. Jones on Urban Media Today Radio.
This weekend in black college football was a weekend full of surprises. And when I say surprises, number one, Hampton University decided to leave the MEAC and will now join the Big South Conference next season. And not only that, but after this weekend's action, there were five HBCU coaches that no longer have jobs. First, let's start off with Grambling State. The 9-1 Tigers are number one on our Urban Media Today Black College Football poll. They had the week off, but they're preparing for the Bayou Classic against 10th-ranked Southern this weekend, and the winner gets Alcorn State in 2 weeks in the SWAC title game. Coach Broderick Fobbs and his G-men know what to expect from Coach Odoms and his Jaguars.
We're looking forward to it. This is a huge event. It's something that I've been a part of for a number of years. The unique thing about the Bayou Classic is I've been the little kid that have cheered on, you know, the university to victory, but then I've also been the player on the field, and now I get a chance to be the coach on the sideline. So it's definitely a huge event. It's a huge deal for both programs and both institutions. You know, when you look at the players that are available in this state, I think it speaks to the volume of the talent that's here because a lot of our student athletes come from this state. But then secondly, I think it has a lot to do with our approach as coaches. You know, there's a no-nonsense approach, you know, and a very disciplined approach, which allows you to be successful. So that's what it takes. But then also you have to be focused on the task at hand. And I think, you know, both teams do a really good job of focusing on what's right in front of them as opposed to thinking what's behind or two steps ahead.
Meanwhile, Coach Odoms and his Jags also know what to expect from the G-men of Grambling State.
Playing in a game that's got this much magnitude and this much riding on it, I think it's come down to the offensive line and defensive line on both sides. And whichever group can control the other is going to have the upper hand in the football game. Again, it will come in with two explosive offenses with a chance to score some points, but I really like our offense this year versus the offense we had a year ago. I think we leaned on Lenard Tillery and Willie Quinn to make a lot of plays for us, but I think we're able to spread the ball around, which make us that much more explosive as an offense because you really don't know where the ball is going. And Austin's done a great job of moving that ball to different running backs, receivers, and tight ends. So we got a lot of guys that have catches, so you got to defend the whole field. I really like our secondary. I like that matchup, and I think we're going to be able to make some plays in that matchup. I really think Danny Johnson and DeMario Houston is coming into his own. DeMario didn't have a very good game here a year ago. Our safeties are a year older, and when you talk about Gaines and Augustine, I really think that we're going to have a scheme this year that our guys are going to be able to communicate to each other because they're older and really be able to play a lot better.
It's the Bayou Classic this weekend, and by the way, the Revolution will be televised. As for this past weekend, North Carolina A&T improved to 11-0, beating North Carolina Central in the Aggie Eagle Classic 24-10. A&T QB Lamar Renard threw for a TD and finished with 193 yards of total offense, 153 yards in the air, and 40 yards on the ground, as the Aggies picked up their ninth MEAC title in school history and their first undefeated regular season. Everything was going right for Coach Broadway's Aggies on this day. The indication was All-American tackle Brandon Parker proposed to his girlfriend of 3 years before the game, and she said yes. Meanwhile, Virginia State lost in the first round of the D2 playoffs 35-9 as the West Georgia Wolves were able to contain Trojans all-everything running back Trenton Cannon to only 77 yards on 21 carries, while three Trojan QBs could only combine for 207 yards passing between the three of them. But a bright spot for VSU was Zachary Parker, who pulled down 6 receptions for 110 yards, while on the other side of the ball, Brandon Lynch racked up 14 tackles for the CIAA champions, who finished the year 10-1. Bowie State also fell in the D2 playoffs in the first round, 45-35 to Delta State. The Statesmen were able to hold off the attack of Bulldogs quarterback Amir Showtime Hall, who passed for 332 yards and ran for another 66 yards as he led his coach Damon Wilson's black and gold to three unanswered TDs in the third quarter before DSU answered with 14 points and held the Bulldogs scoreless in the final quarter for the win. Bowie State wrapped up their season at 9-2, and Hall is a candidate for the Harlan Hill Award, which goes to the best player in D2 football. His teammate Victor Tamba Jr. has been named as a finalist for the Gene Upshaw Award, which goes to the best D2 lineman of the year. Another top 10 action, Howard University fell to Hampton in the battle of the real HUs by a score of 20-17. And Coach Connell Maynard was victorious in what turned out to be his last game as the head coach of the Pirates, prevailing in the battle of the Real HUs. Yaki Johnson led the way for the Pirates' attack, rushing for 144 yards and two TDs. And not only will the Pirates have a new head coach next season, but they'll also play in a new conference. As I said earlier, they announced earlier last week that they will be leaving the MEAC to join the Big South. And Coach Maynard, in his 5 years at Hampton, he led the Pirates to 24 wins and 33 losses. By the way, in the loss, Howard University freshman Kalen Newton, who is a finalist for the FCS Jerry Rice Award, which goes to the Freshman of the Year, finished his final game of the season passing for 259 yards, despite being intercepted twice. And Howard head coach Mike London is also a finalist for the Eddie Robinson Award. Moving on to more HBCU action this past weekend. Bethune-Cookman beat FAMU in the Florida Classic 29-24. The Wildcats scored three TDs on three consecutive drives in the fourth quarter to beat the Rattlers, as BCCU quarterback Larry Brim Jr. led the way, passing for 280 yards and a touchdown. And this game turned out to be the final game for FAMU head coach Alex Wood, who announced his resignation. Offensive line coach Edwin Pata will take over as interim head coach. Wood was 8-25 in three seasons at the helm, and Coach Pata had this to say about the now former head coach of the FAMU Rattlers.
I think Coach Wood has done a tremendous job of building a structure in the organization that was needed here, you know, and not talking anything negative about any of the coaches in the past, but I thought that was one of his assets that he brought to this program. So the structure, the program, and leadership, definitely he's done a tremendous job. The blueprint is a phenomenal job, I think, that Coach Wood had done. We just didn't get enough wins. So I think there won't be much for whoever has his title to win. I think Coach Wood did a good job of just setting the foundation for a long time to come, honestly. Winning is hard. Winning is definitely something hard to do. And what I mean by that doesn't take much, I think we're right at the cusp. I think, as you can see, and people who've watched this program grow the last 3 years, we're right there. We don't have to make wholesale changes and hit the reset button. You know, I think the structure and the foundation in the organization, Coach Wood did a tremendous job in the staff of instilling that, and the program that's here is what was needed. I think we just didn't produce the wins when we needed to, and it won't take long for us to get over that hump. I think we've stabilized the program. Obviously, even looking in our APR and our academics, we've stabilized the program when it comes to that. And so that's what I mean when I say it won't take much for us to get over that hump.
Over in the Ohio Valley Conference, Tennessee State lost to Jacksonville State on their final game of the season, 36-6. The only TD for the Tigers was QB Michael Hughes connecting with Chris Rowland on a 27-yard touchdown pass. The Tigers finished their season 6-5 on the year. And back to more MEAC action, Delaware State lost to Florida State by a score of 77-6 in a game which turned out to be Coach Kenny Carter's last game. The athletic director and head coach of the football team were both relieved of their duties this past weekend. Coach Kenny Carter will not return to the helm for the Hornets next season. His contract will not be renewed at the end of this season. In his three seasons as the Hornets head coach, he led DSU to a record of 3 wins against 30 losses. And defensive line coach EJ Jr. is taking over as interim head coach. Norfolk State beat Morgan State 45-32 as Aaron Savage led the Spartans, rushing for 2 touchdowns. And the Bears actually outgained the Spartans 438-276 in yardage, but were handicapped by 4 turnovers. By which the Spartans had no problem taking advantage of to pull out the win. Savannah State, who's also leaving the MEAC, they'll play in Division II next season. They're leaving the conference on a winning note. They beat South Carolina State 34-10. Next week, South Carolina State head coach Buddy Pough will announce whether or not he'll return as the head coach of South Carolina State next season. Meanwhile, Coach Rayburn and his Tigers leave the MEAC on a high note as freshman QB Devon Gibbons threw for 267 yards and 2 touchdowns, helping Savannah State beat South Carolina State for the first time since 2001. Moving over to some SWAC action, Alabama A&M beat Kentucky State 21-13. The Bulldogs rallied in the second half as QB Dylan Smith threw for a pair of TDs to pull past the Thoroughbreds in what proved to be the final game for head coach Spady at the helm of A&M football. For head coach Spady, after 4 years at the helm at A&M, He led the Bulldogs to a record of 15 wins against 30 losses. Alabama State beats Mississippi Valley State 16-10 in the final game for head coach Rick Comegie, who will not be returning next season to lead the Delta Devils. In Coach Comegie's 4 years at the helm, he led the Delta Devils to 6 wins against 38 losses. And Texas Southern beat Arkansas Pine Bluff 24-10 in what turned out to be the final game for Coach Monty Coleman after 10 years at the helm of the Golden Lions. Coach Coleman led Arkansas Pine Bluff to 40 wins against 70 losses and will not be back next year. The Langston Lions finished the season 10-1 after losing in the first round of the NAIA playoffs 55-7 to Northwestern out of Iowa, as the Red Raiders handed Coach Quentin Morgan's Lions their only loss of the season, as Langston became the first team since 1973 to finish their regular season undefeated, and Coach Morgan's Lions made history hosting their first playoff game in school history, and it made it to the NAIA playoffs for only the ninth time. And the loss put an end to Langston's 15-game winning streak, which dated back to October 1st of last season. Make sure you check me out later this week for the final standings in some of the conferences, because we still have more games to be played, like the Bayou Classic this weekend and the Turkey Bowl Classic, which was played on Thursday. Also, the FCS made announcements of its awards. The Walter Payton finalist, and that's the top player in FCS football championship subdivision. The players from HBCUs who are finalists for Offensive Player of the Year are Devonta Kincaid from Grambling State, Brandon Parker from North Carolina A&T, and Lamar Renard, also from North Carolina A&T. On the other side of the ball, the finalists for the Defensive Player of the Year from HBCUs who are up for the Buck Buchanan Award include Darius Christmas, a junior linebacker for Grambling State, and Darius Leonard, a senior linebacker from South Carolina State. Meanwhile, the Freshman of the Year Award, which is titled the Jerry Rice Award, finalists for that award from HBCUs include Franklin Mack McCain from North Carolina A&T, Kaylin Newton from Howard, Vincent Sellers from Tennessee State. And of course, the Eddie Robinson finalists from HBCUs who are up for the Coach of the Year include Rod Broadway, whose North Carolina A&T Aggies are 11-0, and Mike London, who led Howard to a 7-4 season, and Fred McNair, who led Alcorn State to a 7-4 season. The Braves still have the SWAC championship game in 2 weeks in which to play.
You know, at the beginning of the season, you know, our guys already made, you know, they goals and had the goals in mind. You know, that's one of the things, that winning the East for one, going to the SWAC championship for two, winning the SWAC championship, and then going to the Celebration Bowl. So our goals are still in sight. So, you know, we just got to just continue to keep these guys working hard and doing the things we need to get them done to do to come so goals. And I think they're in sight. So we just got to continue to work, man, and put a good product on the field.
And when we look at the Division II, the Harlan Hill finalist, which was the Player of the Year in D2, from HBCUs, the players include Trenton Cannon, the senior running back from Virginia State, and Amir Showtime Hall, the junior quarterback from Bowie State. And as I said earlier, there are plenty of coaches changes that are happening at the end of this season. Once again, I'll be back at the end of the week with the standings, and we'll even talk about some of the candidates for All-American status.
HBCU Sports with Trevin A. Jones on Urban Media Today Radio.